This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
Mark 1, verses 40 to 45, the healing of the leper. So a man with leprosy came to him, to Jesus, and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere.
That was God's word to us. It's absolutely right, and it's given to us because he loves us. Thank you, Lord. So my title for my talk today is Jesus Touches the Untouchable. When Jesus sees exclusion, one of our hot words at the moment, when he sees exclusion, he sees injustice. And he stretches out, as we heard in that story, to touch the untouchable, the excluded. So if you're excluded, if you feel that way, Jesus is stretching his hand out to touch you. And it raises the question of where do we, those of us who are in this community of faith, where do we need to stretch out and touch the untouchable? Because when that happens, when we do, the age of salvation comes. The kingdom of God is here. Every January the 1st, we have a tradition where we go for a walk across Ilkley Moor. And a couple of years ago, we were out walking, and I fell and stumbled and landed in a puddle of mud. And there were two men I'd been walking with and talking, were standing alongside me, and they sort of knelt down, leaned down to help me up, and then looked at me and backed off. I was covered in mud. And it was just a really interesting, a very small thing, but it had a disproportionate impact on me. Somebody, my friend's unwillingness to help me out in case they got dirty. I don't blame them, because I think I would have done the same thing. And today we live in an environment where there's a parallel, isn't there, where we've learned to keep our distance from people and we've learned to cover our faces. And they're sort of metaphors for the way we treat people who are different from us, others who might change us or damage us in some way or just make us muddy. We exclude one another. We have reasons for cutting one another off from each other, so whether that be our lifestyle and our circumstances, our financial circumstances, or you know, the poor or the rich. It may be our gender, or because of a disability, or somebody else's disability, or it could be the color of our skin. It could be the way we approach issues of sex and sexuality, or Brexit. All sorts of reasons. It could be where you were born. I mean, I was born in England, not in Ukraine. 4-0. Sorry. It creates an us and them, just like that. When people who are different from us and might change us or impact us, we see them as them and begin to push them away. So, how does this connect with our theme for the year of heart to heart? Well, this is the thing. Excluding people, making them untouchable, is an expression of injustice in our world. It's the work of the enemy to separate us from God and from one another. So to seek justice is to seek the restoration of relationship between us and God and between us and one another. That's the heart of the Christian gospel. Jesus came, the mighty, creative, creator, Son of God, the leader of all dominions, comes to us, human amongst humans, to reverse those injustices of the enemy and to make ways for us to be restored to God and to one another. And when Jesus sees that injustice, that type of injustice, he's deeply moved. He is angry, and he gives everything, his own life, to bring about justice, to restore us heart to heart. Just go back to that passage, Mark chapter 1, verses 40 to 45. Find it in your devices, if you would, or on in your Bible, because I just want to work through it a little and unpack it a bit and help us see what's in there. So this is Mark's biography of Jesus. There are four biographies. This is the beginning of Mark's biography, and where Jesus has sort of come out as this rock star rabbi and is beginning to demonstrate godly authority in healing the sick and casting out demons and preaching the gospel. And he's being approached here by somebody infected with the virus and not wearing PPE. It says a man with leprosy. And in those days, that meant anybody with an infectious skin disease. And interestingly, they were not allowed to go into people's homes. So if you were diagnosed with a skin disease, you couldn't go in people's homes. You couldn't come anywhere near. You couldn't approach people. You couldn't get close to people. And you had to shout ahead of yourself as you walked anywhere near where people were, unclean, unclean. Can you imagine telling everybody around you, unclean? I am unclean. What does that do to who you are, your identity? And this man, doesn't that sound a bit like lockdown? You know, distance, not going in houses. And this man approaches Jesus. Came to him, it says, begged him on his knees. That's awkward. It's not allowed. What if somebody you didn't know came up to you in Aldi's and they looked really ill and they were coughing and they came right up into your face without a mask on? It's a difficult situation. Why would he do that? Why would he come? Three verbs. Why would he come? Why would he beg? Why would he kneel? Because he was desperate. Yes, he was ill, but it was more than that. He was excluded from society. That destruction of identity, I am unclean. In a very, very, very tiny way, that's how I felt when my friends wouldn't help me up out of the mud. I felt excluded and let down and abandoned, treated as dirty. This is multiple times more important than that. What's Jesus' response? Well, what does he say to Jesus? He comes with this desperation. If you're willing, you can make me clean. You can both heal me and you can declare me clean and reintegrate me into society. In those days, living as a leper was described as a living death. Not just the illness, but this exclusion, this breakup of relationships. Doesn't that resonate with people who've had to isolate for a long time, the elderly in care homes or people in ICU, not being allowed to touch or see their close ones, their loved ones? And what's Jesus' reaction? Depending on your translation, it might say Jesus was full of compassion or is indignant. Those translations tend to be a bit weak. They're not really very accurate. The underlying sense of what Jesus was feeling at that moment was anger. He was angry. Why was he angry? What was he angry at? Who was he angry at? I believe he was angry because he saw injustice. He saw what he had come to confront. The theologian Robert Gulich comments on this, and he says, this is what Jesus sees. Here is a man created by God whose life has been distorted by the forces of evil. It's the epitome of the work of the enemy to separate people from one another, to shatter their lives, to cause pain and anguish, and not heart to heart, it's heart breaking. And Jesus sees that, he's angry, and he reaches out, stretches is the word, and touches the man, reaches across that 2 meter space. Can you imagine what it must have felt like to have been that leper? In a very, very small way, if my friends had decided to get muddy anyway and just help me up out of that puddle. Someone who's been ill and has been excluded or seen people turning away or who has no human contact or, you know, is considered unclean in some way. If a man or a woman, especially if a man or a woman of influence reaches out and touches them, can you imagine what that happens, what that does to you? Remember, those of you who are old enough will remember Lady Di when she went into the ward with HIV patients when they were being excluded and kept away and she sat down next to them and touched them? so powerful, touching the untouchable. It would have felt like a heart-to-heart restoration miracle. I am willing, said Jesus, be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. The power of God comes and heals the man. Boom! That must have been awesome. From living death, as it's described, to resurrection. So, quickly, what can we learn from this story? Three things. If you're far from God, if you don't believe in Jesus yet, or you're doubting or seeking, I invite you just to witness this love, this compassion, this grace of this Jesus. The Jesus who stretches out his hand to you to give you new life, whatever your circumstance. And if you will come to him, that's what this man did. He came to him. Come to Jesus. Kneel before him and ask. And Jesus offers healing and forgiveness for your sin and the promise of new life. And when you do that, you enter into this incredible family of other people who've done through the same thing, brothers and sisters who've all come to Jesus on their knees and received his healing touch. Are you one of them? I want to pray that that's what you would do, that it would be the best decision you ever make. Or maybe you're somebody who has been excluded one way or another, declared unclean. Maybe nobody said those words, but you know what it feels like. Maybe it's the nature of your disability or the color of your skin or your financial situation. This man, excluded man, came and he pleaded and he knelt before Jesus. So my message to you is don't stay in your exclusion zone, but come to Jesus. And kneel and plead with him. And listen. Because he says, I'm willing. Be clean. And then you can, with increased confidence, and with that declaration of truth in your ears, you can come to your brothers and sisters in the church, and you can expect and you can even demand to be welcomed. Third thing we can understand from this is, for those of us who have been given this new life and been restored and cleansed, although we have to come on our knees on a regular basis, pleading for mercy and asking for forgiveness, how are we going to respond? Put yourself in Jesus' shoes. How are you going to respond when the excluded person comes towards you? That person who might make you muddy or dirty or change you. Somebody who looks different, maybe with a different colored skin or a different sense of fashion or a different gender, or somebody who isn't as physically able as you and can't do everything you can, or somebody who isn't as mentally healthy as you and needs more help and different things, or somebody who can't afford to live the way you live, somebody who doesn't speak your language well. How are you going to respond? Holy Spirit, just as we wait on this passage, I ask you to come right now and to speak to each of us, whether we are seeking Jesus in the first place, whether we feel excluded or whether we are being challenged to welcome and to include those who are excluded. Lord, would you come right now and speak to us? How is the Holy Spirit speaking to you? How is he challenging you? Is he challenging you to think about what the church looks like when the foreigner or the disabled person or the same-sex attracted person or the one who is poorer than you, when all these different, diverse people are fully integrated into our family, into our small group, into our Vineyard Kids, into our worship, into our social life? Maybe he's challenging you about how you need to change for that to happen. Maybe he's opening out hope in your heart, if you feel excluded, that there is a home for you. How is the Holy Spirit speaking to you? Come, Holy Spirit. Don't let us get away with this, Lord. Change us. Let me summarize. I'm going to ask Alison to join me as we pray together. Jesus touches the untouchable. And when Jesus sees exclusion, he sees injustice. And he stretches out to touch the untouchable. If you're excluded, Jesus is stretching out his hand to you. Or where do you need to stretch out your hand to touch the untouchable? Because when we do this, brothers and sisters, the age of salvation arises, and the kingdom of God is here. Jesus said, I am willing, be clean. Lord, make us willing. Amen. Alison, come and join me. You've got your microphone. So it'll be fine for the guys here, but and you need to take your face covering off as well. So I'd like to turn to a time when we can pray together for some minutes and see what the Lord is doing amongst us. I don't know if you want to follow up on what we were just talking about there, Alison.
Well, there were a couple of things, specifically one thing that was very connected to what you were talking about in terms of Jesus stretching out his hands. In Genesis, you can read about a character called Hagar who finds herself in the desert and at the end of herself. And there was somebody had a picture, was reminded of that story, and just felt that God wants to reveal in a deeper and a new way, at a deeper level, that for somebody who feels like that at the end of yourself, that he loves you, he knows you, he knows your pain and loss, but doesn't want you to stay in that place. And you may feel excluded from God in that place. And just the sense that Jesus is stretching out his hand to you, deeply moved and moving towards you to change you.
Pray.
Yeah. So Lord, we just pray right now for anyone who feels like that, excluded from God for whatever reason, finding themselves in place at the end of themselves, just in a wilderness place. Lord, would you you need to know that Jesus is deeply moved by your situation, deeply loves you, and is stretching out his hands, coming towards you. And we just pray that you would have the energy just to turn to face him and to receive his love, his deep sense of knowing, and his deep desire to change you and to heal you. Lord, we just pray that you would do that.
Amen.
And there were a couple of pictures along the same theme. The phrase was open the floodgates. And this person saw a picture of a rush of water just swelling in. And the Holy Spirit is here to fill and refresh. And we just need to lift the barriers and let him in. And just the sense of that is the constant posture and desire and activity of the Holy Spirit to fill and to refresh, to rush in, to be active in that way with us. And so maybe, I don't know if you want, should we pray now about that? Or just, because we all need that, whatever situation we're in. So Lord, we just place ourselves in a posture of believing that. and receiving that. And if we do, if we don't, if that's not easy, we just say to you, Lord, we want to be able to be believing that more fully and in a position to receive that more often every day. So, Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you would open the floodgates on us individually, in our homes, in the community of Leeds Vineyard, beyond the walls of the vineyard, into Headingley and the communities where we live. Would you open the floodgates, Lord? Amen. Send your Holy Spirit.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Yeah, and lift off sort of negative thoughts about that or doubts. Lord, may we live in that positive belief and expectation that you are constantly wanting to fill us and refresh us and pour your Spirit out on us and the people that we meet in our daily comings and goings. Thank you, Lord, for your Spirit.